You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
So, what does it mean to be faithful, right? What does it mean for us to be faithful to the Lord? What does it mean for, you know, God expecting that out of us as followers? And this is what we need to understand, right, is that being faithful is an important part of life. You need to be faithful to your job. You need to be faithful to your wife, to your family. You've got to be faithful. You need to be faithful to God and church. Right, these are all things that faithfulness really is a big part of our life. And if we're not faithful in certain areas, right, it affects us tremendously. You're not faithful to your spouse, that's going to affect not just you, a lot of people. You're not faithful at your job, it's going to affect you and a lot of people. Right? You're not faithful with just being who you say you're going to be, that you're supposed to be. It's going to affect a lot of people. So faithfulness really is an important attribute and a characteristic, especially for a Christian. And so today, I really want you to kind of gauge yourself and say, well, you know, really, you know, how am I doing at faithfulness? How am I doing it at really? And God really just wants us to be faithful with a lot of things, not just those big things that we just mentioned, but things like your time. Are you faithful with your time? All right, a lot of times we can waste time. I don't know if that's being faithful with it. We can waste money. I don't know if that's being faithful with it. Right? We can waste opportunities. I don't know if that's being faithful with it. Right? God gives us all of these things, and He expects His people to be faithful. We cannot neglect the fact that being faithful starts with the word faith. And sometimes we're not as faithful as we need to be because, you know what, we lack faith. When God's saying, hey, I want you to serve here, I want you to give here, and you're like, well, God, this is all I got left. God's like, well, where's your faith? Is your faith in your money, or is your faith in me? Is your faith in what's in your bank account, or your faith in me? Opportunities and time, you say, well, you know, I've only got this little bit of time, and I want to take this time for me. I need some me time, you know, and we all need me time. But when you're going to get challenged on that is when you haven't had me time in a while and somebody else has got a need. And God's going to say, well, what you going to do about that, right? And so we need to be faithful, right? Because God, and don't get me wrong, there are times when you may need to draw a line and say, well, you know, I've got to keep these boundaries, this margin, right? We all need that in our lives. But quite honestly, we have more time that we waste, right? That we could use for other things, better things, and it's not being faithful with what God has given us. Many of us consider that we know and understand faith, but I want to challenge us on this, right? That faith does not just mean my belief in God. Faith means me living out my life in God every day. And there is a difference between faith and belief. We know this. You've heard this before, right? Even the devil believes and he trembles. Now think about that for a minute. How many people say they believe in God, but they don't have any fear of God? They don't live in the fear and reverence of God. And yet they say they believe in God. And then Christians who say they have faith in God, and yet they practice more faith in what, you know, a book says, and what an educational system says, than they do in what the Bible says. So it's really important for us to measure and say, well, where really is my faith? You see, belief doesn't necessarily change you. It can change you, but faith does change you. You can believe something, but it may not affect the way you live, right? We can all say, you know, it's important to do this or it's important to do that, but how many of us say those things and we don't do it ourselves, right? See, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of contradictions in the world. You look around and I see all these things, you know, people making a big deal about plastic straws and stuff like that, you know? And I'm just like, well, what about all the other plastic? You know, you're going to make a big deal about a paper straw, right? And yet we make a big deal about these small, you know, seemingly small things, and there are so many much bigger things that we should be worried about. We all know that the devil believes, but he isn't saved. So belief, right? Just having a mental assent to something, just agreeing and saying, yeah, I got it. That doesn't save you, right? It's putting our faith in Jesus that saves us. And so the Bible tells us that we need to be followers of Jesus, but to do that, the Bible's clear that it's only faith that saves us. It's faith in Jesus that saves us, not a belief that Jesus lived. Not a belief even that Jesus died. It's putting your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus alone. You see, let me kind of illustrate it with you. I can just use this here. Now, we just saw Brandon sit on this. Okay? So we know it's a stool. We know it's what it's made for. It's made to hold somebody. We saw that it can hold somebody, and I believe it can hold somebody. But I don't know if I'm going to sit in it. You see, I can believe it all day long, but that belief hasn't changed my life. It's not until I move and I sit down in it myself that I've shown my faith that it can hold me. And there are a lot of people who say, oh, I've got a belief in God. I believe God. Well, are you resting in Him? Are you sitting in Him? Are you really got your faith in Him? Because there's a lot of people who are like this. Oh, yeah, I believe this stool can hold me. I got my feet right here in case it don't. Right? And this is how a lot of people live their lives. Oh, yeah, I'm trusting in Jesus, but, you know, I got my little thing going on over here just in case. No, you see, faith is you pick your feet up and you say, everything for me hinges on Jesus. Listen, I'm going to tell you this as your pastor. If Jesus don't let me in, I ain't getting in. He's going to be the one that's going to say, yeah, he can go. I ain't going to have a word to say about it. When I get to heaven, right, and I'm standing there, and however the judgment's going to happen, if God looks at me, Jesus says, looks at me and says, why should I let you into heaven? I ain't say, I'm... What's he got to say about it, right? Because I don't have an answer. He's my answer. So it's not just about belief. You have to have faith, but you got to put your faith in the right place. A lot of people got their faith misplaced. They're resting and trusting in something else. And so part of being faithful means that we have to put our faith in the right place. So have you ever done that? You see, faith is a noun. We tend to make it a verb all the time, but faith is a noun. And so it's not just that we go and do something saying, oh, well, you know, I'm gonna believe this and I'm just gonna act this way and hope that it works out. No. My faith rests here, and it's demonstrated through my actions. I show what I believe by how I act. And you know what? You all show what you believe by how you act. And everybody else knows it. They know what you really believe. They know what you really think. You can say whatever you want to say, but your actions speak louder than your words. And so for us, right, if we're going to say that we truly have faith in God, it's going to result in our faithfulness to God. Now, I know that there are people who can't come to church on Sunday mornings. There are a lot of, you know, people in the younger generation, they just want to watch church at home, and that's okay. You can do that. But this is one of the things we've got to understand. If we're going to take God at His word, like we just saying, I'll take you at your word. Well, you know what His word says this, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? Come together occasionally, more than just Christmas and Easter, right? More than that. Why? So that you can be encouraged, so that you can grow together, so you can have some accountability, so you can have some help in your life. You know why you're so desperate and alone right now? It's because you won't go to church. This is why. It's if any place, and listen, no church is perfect. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we're working at it. We're trying to get better. Am I going to do a great job at loving you where you are? Probably not. But I'm going to try. and we're going to try as a church. But this is the thing, is how are you ever going to know unless you come to church? How are you ever going to know? And I know that there's a lot of church hurt. I know there's a lot of church hurt. But listen, it wasn't God that hurt you. It wasn't God that hurt you. It was His flawed, imperfect people who are struggling just like you. And so before you get blaming God for everything, and before you start putting us all in the same category, saying, oh, well, you know, everybody's just the same. Everybody's not the same. And, you know, the people who are really trying to love God and trying to serve God, trying to seek after God, you know, you might want to give some people some grace, just like the grace you want to get. Right? Oh, everybody wants to get grace. Give me grace, give me grace, give me grace. But I ain't going to show you grace. You know, isn't it interesting? There's a lot of people like that with church. And this is what we got to understand, is that we all need that grace. And so it's going to be demonstrated in our faithfulness. It's going to be demonstrated, right, that whenever somebody does you wrong, you being faithful, you're going to forgive again. You see, because you're faithful. That you're going to love even though they're hard to love. You're gonna continue to serve God. You're going to continue to give to God. You're going to continue to do what God wants you to do, because it's not about them. It's about Him. What has God called me to do? He's called me to be faithful. And so I'm still going to do what I need to do, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Now listen, that's not always easy. That's not always easy. And that's why being faithful means you've got to be full of faith. Faithful. Be full of faith. And sometimes, right, you know when we're kind of running on fumes, your faith is low, you're finding yourself a little grumpy, a little ill, right? Well, you might need to get refilled on some faith. You might need to go back to the Lord, right? Draw close to Him. Find your faith in Him, not in your circumstances, not in how you want that person or expect that person to respond or receive even what you're trying to give them. Because our faithfulness isn't dependent upon someone else. Our faithfulness is dependent upon our commitment to God. So how strong is your commitment to God? How strong is that commitment? You see, being faithful means that we're confident and secure and have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. It's not circumstantial. Our faithfulness, listen, many of you in this room who are married, you understand this. That it cannot be, you cannot gauge your faithfulness based on how that person acts or reacts. Because they're going to be hills and valleys. It's going to be, there's going to be times, right? That it ain't easy. And I'm not just talking about marital relationships here. Let's just talk about just your coworkers and people that you're around that sometimes are just hard to deal with. And so you cannot have a circumstantial faithfulness. Because you know what that you know what you are then? Hypocritical. You're a hypocrite. And everybody else is going to be quick and call you out on that. Right? And so it's important for us that our confidence doesn't rely in our circumstances. Our confidence doesn't rely in anything else other than God. And we take Him at His word. And we say, God, You said this, You promised this, so I'm going to hold You to it, regardless of what anybody else says they're going to do. Now, you know, I've had this happen before too, right? You all been in the same boat. You got your family members, close people to you. Say, oh, you know, if you can just help me out, you know, I'll pay you back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ain't going to take you at your word. I'm going to take God at His word, right? Because God said He's going to meet my need. That if I seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, all these things will be added to me. So it's like if I can help you out, I'm going to help you out. But don't make me no promises, because that's just going to make me angry when you don't keep it, right? So it's like one of those things that we have to realize that our confidence and our security is not in somebody else's word, it's in His word and what He says He will do. So being faithful means trusting God even when it seems impossible. Anybody had any impossibilities lately? Right? We've had several of them even in our church, of people who've been facing what seems like impossible situations. And what did God do? He parted the Red Sea, didn't he? He showed up when you didn't think there was any other hope. He did what nobody else was believing could be done. Maybe even you had some wavering faith. But this is again where it comes back to God is faithful, even when our faith is small. That God is faithful because he will not deny himself. And if he's made a promise, he's going to keep it, because God's saying, you know what? It ain't even about you either. Right? You see, we think, oh, well, you know, I'm good. I'm better. I'm better than everybody else. When I say something, I keep my word. Mm-hmm. Ask God, have you kept your word to God? So God's saying this, hey, look, my promises to you are not contingent on you. God keeps his word because he made a promise for himself, and he will not compromise his integrity. Right? Amen. So, let me ask you this. How consistent, dependable, and reliable are you when things get tough? You see, our faithfulness tends to go with the flow, right? And when everything is great, man, oh yeah, we're good. I'm going to be faithful because God is good. God is good all the time, except that one time, except, yeah, right? And so that's kind of how we live. But you see, the thing about faithfulness is that faithfulness means you're consistent the whole time. Yeah, that it's like, hey, look, you know, yeah, things can kind of be rough, kind of be tough, but you know what? I'm gonna be level. I'm gonna be level-headed. I'm gonna be calm, cool, and collected. I'm gonna do whatever I need to do. I'm gonna be faithful. I'm gonna stick true to my word. You see, 1 Corinthians 4:2 is a small verse. And I remember reading this years and years ago, and it's kind of always stuck out to me. And it says this, moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. You know, some verses like this, we can kind of read and just kind of pass over and say, oh, that's a nice little verse. But listen, this is an important verse, because he says this, it's required. You want to know how many verses does it say it's required? Not a whole lot. But it's saying this, that if you are going to be a steward of God, then one of his requirements is that you are faithful. You want God to trust you with more, be faithful with what you got already. A lot of people want more and more. Just give me more, 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 more. You know what? You know why a lot of people, we can't find good help and work around here? Is because all they want is a lot of money for a little work. They don't know much about faithfulness. That faithfulness means you got to come in when you don't feel like coming in. That faithfulness means you show up when nobody else is showing up. Because a lot of people nowadays, they're looking around, they're saying, wow, I'm the only one showing up at work. Why am I the only one? If everybody else is staying home, I'm going to stay at home too. You see, we've kind of lost this idea of faithfulness. And for us as followers of Jesus, we need to be demonstrating it. Listen, if your job and your work is a hard place for you to be working, you still need to be faithful. You need to do your job well, even when nobody else is doing their job well. And I know sometimes you're going to feel like, man, I got to pick up the slack for everybody. Well, pick up as much slack as you can, right? Do your job well, because that person is not your boss. God is your boss. God gave you that job. God is allowing you to still have the health to work, right? There are some people who'd love to go back to work and they can't. And so let me encourage you, as this verse says, be faithful. And it uses this word steward, stewardship. Stewardship is basically this, the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to your care. That when you are a steward, you realize, okay, something's been given to me, it's been entrusted to me, and now I need to do the very best I can with what I've been given. So think about that in terms of your life. You see, being faithful requires us to realize that we've been given something very valuable. And that value, right, let's think about how valuable is time. You never get time back. You've been entrusted with a certain amount of time, and even as Psalm 90 verse 12 says, Moses wrote it and he said, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to take notice of the time. And by the way, I mean, do you realize this? We're almost halfway through May already. It seemed like it just started, right? And the older we get, the faster time is clicking by. And if we don't understand that the time that we've been given is precious, there is no value on time. You cannot get more time. So, are you being faithful with the time that you've been given? I know it's easy to just plop down and just turn on the TV. I know it's just easy to just plop down and just kind of disengage from life because we're tired. But you only get so much time. So use the time that you've been given wisely. Use the opportunities you have with your family, right? You only have so much time. You only got so much time with them, right? And so we've got to maximize the time that we have with the things that are most important. Because what we've been given is very valuable. And sometimes we kind of, you know, minimize the value. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I'm not going to read all that, but I'll summarize it. It is in your notes on the YouVersion app. And this is the parable that Jesus talks about, how he entrusted, or a gentleman entrusted talents and gifts to three servants. And he went away on a journey. And after a while, he comes back and he begins to take an account for what they did with what he had given them. You see, the master gave them something very valuable. And he went away on a journey. Jesus has given us something very valuable. And he's gone away on a journey. But he's coming back one day. And when he comes back, he's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you use your time? How did you use your opportunities? Were you selfish? Or were you afraid? Or did you really try to do something with what I gave you? And so he goes through, and the one who he had five, right? He invested it, had five more. The one who had two, he invested it, he had more. The one who had one, he didn't invest it. Instead, he goes out, right, and he hides it because he's afraid of what the master's going to say when he comes back, and he doesn't want to lose it. So instead of doing anything with it, he kind of just hides it and holds on to it. And then the master comes back and he says, hey, you've been a wicked and unprofitable steward. Take what's given to him and give it to the one who has the most. Now, that's always kind of struck me as interesting, right? Why give it to the one who has most? Why not give it to the guy who's had a little bit? Because this is what we've got to understand, that when we do the most with what we've been given, right, he's going to add to it, right? You want to do more for God? Then do what you can with what he's given you now, and he'll give you more later. You see, every one of us has been given something of value, including you. Everybody in this room has something valuable. You have something to offer, something to contribute, something that you can give to someone else who's in need, whether it's time, attention, maybe money, maybe something else. Maybe you've got some resources of valuable things at your house or whatever that people could benefit from, right? Sometimes we don't need two or three coffee makers, right? But we get, you know, the new one, and so you put the other two under your cupboard. And it's just taking up space, right? And so I don't know if that's you. Nobody told me anything. I don't know anything, right? It's Holy Spirit if that's you. Okay? So, but what I'm saying is that we all have these things that we probably don't need. We have too much of, right? And yet it could be something that could benefit somebody else. It's up to us to determine what to do with what God has given us. You can hold on to it. You can not use it. You can invest it. You can take some risks. And let me just say this, that the people that God is going to use most are the people who are going to be risk takers. You know, not that we're foolish with what we've been given, but that we are not afraid to trust God with it. It's not always easy to trust God, even though we would say, oh yeah, every good and perfect gift comes from God, but God's saying, well, then give it back to me. And you're like, oh, I don't want to give it back. I like it. I want to keep it myself. How do we do this even with our children, right? Oh, God, you've given me this child. And God's like, well, give him back. Trust me. You're like, well, God, you trusted me. And he's like, yeah. And now I'm saying, you trust me. And sometimes it can be hard, right, when we see our children going a certain way in a certain direction, and we're just like, oh, you know, I want to control. Yeah, we can't control. You got to surrender. And that's hard, isn't it? What we also need to remember is that some opportunities are once in a lifetime. Some things may not be consequential, but all of these things are given to us so that we might steward them well. Listen, even your trials and tribulations, God allows to come into your life because he trusts you with it. Think about Job. Oh my goodness, anybody trying to sign up to be like Job? Nope, I don't think so. And yet, when Satan came before God and said, hey God, I want to do this. God said, okay, because I can trust Job with all that you're going to bring to him. Because Job is going to be faithful. Job is going to be faithful. Can you imagine what it would take for you if you were in that situation to say, even though he slays me, I will still praise him? Wow. That's some faithfulness. You see, how you handle the smaller things will greatly affect what greater things come your way. How you handle the small things will greatly affect the greater things that God wants to give you. You see, sometimes we think that God's stingy and selfish. We think that God's just kind of holding back on us. And people have said that. People have thought that. The reason God may not give you more is because you haven't been faithful with what he's given you. If you want God to give you more, be faithful with the small, what you feel like is small. And listen, there's always somebody who would rather be in your shoes. I'm telling you that. So you might be saying, oh, well, this ain't nothing. This is nothing. Listen, there's somebody who would love to be in your shoes. So don't devalue what God has given you, even though you feel like it's small. Don't tell God, oh, you didn't give me enough. Because God might be turning that right back around on you saying, well, you didn't give me enough. Where's your whole heart? You see, verse 29 in that Matthew passage says, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That guy who only had one, it was taken away, and it was given to the one who had more, the most. And so for us, what we need to understand is this. We sometimes think, oh, God, you need me, God. Right? God doesn't need any of us. And listen, if you're not going to use what little bit God has given you, God will take it away from you and he will give it to someone else. God doesn't need us. He can put us, any of us, on the shelf anytime he wants. And you know what you better do if you get put on the shelf? You better be faithful there. Don't be trying to pull yourself off the shelf. Don't be trying to put yourself in a place where God hasn't put you. So it's so important for us to understand that being faithful means there are times when we're going to have to exercise our faith by being true and consistent when no one else is. That there are times when it may feel like, hey, I'm the only one who is really, truly seeking God. But honestly, how can you know that? Right? Remember Elijah. Elijah, he ran from Jezebel, and he goes up, and he has a little kind of pity party. He says, oh, you know, I'm the only one that's left. And God said, no, Elijah, you're not the only one that's left. I got several thousand other guys down here that you don't know anything about. And you just turned it all on you. You think you've been doing this, and I've been using you. Yeah, Elijah, I've been using you a lot, man. But don't think you're the only one. There's a lot of other people I've been using too. And God can use you. Don't feel like that if you are just doing your part, that you're the only one doing your part. You're not. And so, in other words, we need to be true to his word and call his call on our lives. Are you doing what God has called you to do? That's the question. So listen, this works in a marriage. You only need to be faithful to your spouse. It don't matter what somebody else's spouse says to you. You ain't married to them. So don't try to be faithful to somebody else. You need to be faithful to your spouse. You need to be faithful to your God. Doesn't matter what all the other gods and all the other people are saying out there, right? We need to be faithful to our God, to what He's telling us. But this is another thing you need to understand, is that God is not going to tell you everything He's up to. Sometimes, right, we're like, come on, God. Come on, man. Tell me what's going on. God's like, no, it's my secret. Right? And I don't have to tell you. And sometimes, right, we get like kids sometimes. We're like, well, then I ain't doing it. God's like, oh, yes, you will. You're going to do it. Because God doesn't owe us an answer. God just wants us to be faithful even if we don't know how it's going to work out. That God wants us to be faithful in the midst of the hard time, even though we don't have a clue what this is all about. God, I don't know what this means, but I'm just going to do it because you told me to do it. I don't know where this is leading. It might not lead anywhere, but you know what? It's going to lead me to you. Because this is what we need to understand about faithfulness and about obedience, right? Is that we don't have to understand to obey. You don't have to understand to be faithful. You just be faithful. You just are obedient. Everything in our lives is not going to make sense. And you know, there's many of us in this room who could tell you story after story after story of, yeah, this didn't make sense. I didn't know why. And I may not ever know why. There's a lot of us who've said this and thought this, that, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God all these questions. I'm going to say, you know, I didn't understand this. Listen, you ain't going to care when you get there. You ain't going to care. You might care right while you're here thinking, oh, yeah, when I get there, I got all these questions. I'm going to ask Adam and Eve. I'm going to ask this, that, that. No, you ain't going to care. You're just going to be glad you ain't here anymore. And everything that's associated with this place is going to be gone. You ain't going to care about anything like that. So don't waste your time worrying about it now. Why are you worrying about something now that you're not going to care about then? Right? You think it made any sense for Noah to build the ark? It didn't make sense. He's out there for year after year after year, chopping down these trees, right, building this boat. And people are coming by. They're mocking him, making fun of him. And all he knows is this, is I'm doing what God told me to do. And yeah, it doesn't even make complete sense to me, but you know what? I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You think it made sense for Abraham to offer Isaac? Nope. And I'll just put this little caveat in there. That's why I don't think he told Sarah, right? I think he just got up and went because he knew Sarah was going to have a problem with that, right? Right? No, you ain't taking my only son up there to offer him. No way. So he didn't tell her. He just did, right? He followed God. And he realized a little bit of wisdom. You ain't got to tell everybody everything that God's telling you. Right? Sometimes, right? Sometimes we got these people around us and they might be well-intentioned, but they might be getting in the way of God, but you got to keep your mouth shut. Because God may say, listen, I'm telling you this. That don't mean you got to go and tell everybody. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. I've said this before. There's a quote I heard from years ago, but it's so true. That many of us say we've got great faith in God, and God's going to say, I'm going to test you on that. I'm going to test you on that. We used to go rappelling at the camp I used to work at, and we have these, you know, lines of rope that are weight tested at, you know, 1,300, 1,500, 2,000 pounds, whatever. It means that they've tested that rope in a studio or in a place where they've pulled on it, found that many pounds of pressure, and then so they can say, yeah, this has been weight tested at this. And so you can put a person on there, you know, you can put an elephant on there, as long as it doesn't weigh more than 2,000 pounds, it's going to hold. And so God's going to test and allow our faith to be tested to see just how strong it can be. But this is another thing that you need to understand about, you know, people who weight train and work out like O'Neal, you know. Don't we all want to be like that, right? Built up, you know, bulky man. He goes to shake your hand. He ain't even gripping, you know. And you're like, yeah, right? There you go, man, right? And it's like, you know, but here's the thing about working out, right? Here's the thing about that, right? You deal with some pain for some great gain. You're willing to test and push yourself so that you can be stronger, maybe not tomorrow, right? You work those muscles out, right? How many of us have done that? You know, I'm right? Is it there? Right? No, it ain't going to be there. You got to do it over a period of time, right? You got to be faithful over a period of time. It doesn't just happen overnight. And so many of us want our faith to just be like that. Oh, I'm going to work it out. Going to work out my faith. Going to work out my faith. Oh, is it there? No, it ain't there yet. It's going to take some time to work it out, to be faithful. If you want to be stronger later, right? Start working for it now. Allow God to do in your life what he wants to do. Sadly, we've got too many Christians today whose faith is only as strong as a clear sunny day. Isn't that true? I mean, we got people who, you know, man, the first sign, I mean, there ain't even a raindrop and there's a cloud. Oh, I ain't going today. It's raining somewhere. And you know, the thing is, the fact of the matter is this, is that it doesn't take much sometimes to shake our faith. Why is that? It's because we're not grounded. You're not grounded. And so you've got to get deeper. And the only way you're going to get deeper, you know, look. When hurricanes come, there are certain trees that don't fall down. You know why they don't fall down? Because they're in, yeah, that's right. You know how they get deeper roots? It's because they're around wind a lot. And because they're around wind a lot, their roots grow deeper. And so that way, when the huge storm comes, when the hurricane comes, they don't blow over. Isn't that something? A lot of us think, oh, well, you know, I'll be strong when the tough time comes. Well, then you better expect some tough times to come to get you ready for the toughest times to come. Can you imagine being told that something you're supposed to do in faith, you would never see come to pass? But that's what faith is about, isn't it? Faith is about doing what you're supposed to do, even if you never see it happen. Even if you never see the results. You know, this is why prayer ministries are so not very well attended. It's because so many people get discouraged when they don't see their prayers answered. So they quit praying. So they don't show up for prayer times. Because, well, you know, God didn't answer my prayer. Did you give God time? Did you give God faith to believe that he's going to answer your prayer even if you don't see how it's being answered? Because, by the way, God is working in the background. God's always working. You see, at least Noah got to use the ark, right? At least Abraham got his son back, right? And so many of us, we want that kind of story. Oh, God, I've had great faith, and then this is how God proved it to me. Could you have great faith if God didn't prove it? Because faith is the evidence of things you don't see. It's the confidence that it will be, even if I never see it in my lifetime. Our faithfulness cannot be contingent on getting the outcome we want. Well, we think, oh, you know, God, I'm praying, and I want the best. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. Well, his will being done might look a little different than you think it's going to look. You see, we think we have this perfect picture of how God's going to do everything, but listen, our perfect picture is still tainted by our limited perspective. You don't see the big picture. You don't live outside this domain. You don't live up in the heaven and look down. You don't get to see that. You only see it from one direction. And so we've got to be faithful even though we might not be getting the outcome we want. Our faithfulness needs to rest in the fact that God is faithful. We just sang about it, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Lamentations, right? 3:22, right? That God is faithful and he gives us new mercies every day. But Isaiah 55 also tells us this, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." You see, sometimes we think we know what's best. Father knows best, right? No, that Father knows best. God knows what he's doing, and he doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't do anything haphazardly. He doesn't do anything, oh, just kind of taking his chances, just going to roll the dice and see how it works out this time. No, that's not God. God has a specific plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows how it works, and whatever he wants to be accomplished, it will be done. And so for us, we take him at his word. We trust him, and we're faithful even if it's not going the way we thought it should go. You see, faithfulness to God is allowing him to determine the fruitfulness. We think, oh, God, if I just do this, well, then you're going to bless it, and all this is going to happen, right? This kind of prosperity mentality, right? If I give God this, then he's going to just multiply and bless me that time 10 times back, 100 times back. He might, but he might not. And if he does, it might be in a way that you wouldn't even recognize. You see, sometimes we think that what we're giving to God, we should get back the same thing, right? Just multiplied. It doesn't always work that way. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness, but that fruitfulness is in God's time. If you will be faithful over a long period of time, God will bless you with great fruit in his time. And so what we need to do and what you've got to understand is that faithfulness is not measured over a short period of time. Faithfulness is measured over a long period of time. We have to be faithful for a long period of time. And so let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if you don't lose heart, if you don't give up, if you will keep going on to be continued. Keep going on, even though everybody else is saying, no, it ain't going to work, and see, your God is failing you, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, my God ain't failing me. I'm still going to keep going on. Still going to be faithful, even though it doesn't seem like he's even there. Can you imagine that 400-year period of time between Malachi and Matthew where there's no voice of God? There's nothing from God? Would you be faithful then? And so, in Galatians 6:9, when Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing, what's going on in that book, right? The Galatians, they've received the gospel, but then Paul hears that they've been taking in another gospel. That they were followers, they were faithful while he was there, and now he's gone away, and now they're listening to another gospel? What? What's going on? How is that? And I'm telling you, that could be very discouraging, right? How many of us have seen people come to faith, and man, they're so excited, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, they're worse than they were before they came, right? And it's like, that can be discouraging. And yet, look at what Paul says. He says, just be faithful. You be faithful. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing or isn't doing. You be faithful. You do what you need to do. So what do we need to do? Let me give you these quick things really, really fast. Realize that the harvest doesn't come immediately. He says, do not grow weary in well-doing because you will reap in due season. When the time is right, right? Anybody who's a farmer, they don't plant their seed, you know, one day and go out tomorrow and say, well, it didn't grow. I guess I'm not going to be a farmer. I failed as a farmer. No, you didn't fail. You just checked too soon. Farming takes time. Harvesting takes time. Raising a family takes time. Being successful in your job takes time. We get deceived by this microwave society we live in. And we think, oh God, you know, my prayer, I prayed to you one time. I gave you 3 seconds, God. I gave you 3 seconds over my lunch prayer, right? And that's the thing. And we expect God to be moving heaven and earth because, well, we took 3 seconds to pray over our meal. And we didn't even mean it. We just said something. And so what happens is this, is that we are expecting God to do, give us a harvest when you didn't even plant a seed. So the harvest doesn't come immediately. You need to realize that faithfulness is only measured over a long period of time. I was just saying that, right? Farmers and people who are investing and investing and investing, you got to keep investing. Even though it seems like it's taking a long time, right? Jesus had his disciples for 3 years. And you know what? Even at the end of that 3 years, he still had one betray him, still had one deny him, and the other 10 fled. Wow. That's not very encouraging, is it? After 3 years walking with the Son of God. And so for us, let us not be discouraged whenever we're investing and we're giving and we're giving and investing and investing and yet the turnout doesn't seem to be there. You stay faithful. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. You see, we need to realize that the time to be faithful is now. You don't start your faithfulness tomorrow. Right? There's nobody who gets married and says, well, I'll be faithful to you tomorrow, but tonight, you know, yeah, we just had our wedding day, but you know, I don't feel like being faithful. No, you better be faithful right then. When you said I do, that means there are other things you don't. Right? That's just the way it works. Right? So the moment you say I do to Jesus, there are other things you say I don't. Right? And so many of us, we think, oh, my marriage to God, my marriage to Jesus, well, it's kind of contingent on how I'm feeling, right? And we want to be polygamous. You don't get to do that. You don't get to just pick and choose when you're going to be faithful. If you said I do to him, there are other things you say I don't. And so, now is the time to be faithful, not tomorrow. Realize that we all get weary, but that's the time we need to continue on. You persevere even when you're tired. See, some people get caught up in their feelings and they start saying, oh, so what? You know, it doesn't matter. So what? Who cares? You know, nobody's really into all this Jesus stuff anyway anymore. You know, the Bible's archaic and ancient, and who's following that? You know, it's just all the old people. You know, you look at the churches today, who's really going to church? Well, I would say this. If people are saying, so what? I say to you, So. Keep sowing. Keep putting the seed out there. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. So. You see, we got to remember that we're not living for now, we're living for later. We're not living for now, we're living for later. And later is going to be greater. Amen? Do we really believe later is going to be greater? To give you some help with this, and band, you guys can come on up. I'm so glad we have Amazon, because I was able to find some now and laters. And you need to be faithful now, and you need to be faithful later. Amen? So get your hard hats on, because it's coming to you. You ready? Yeah, okay. Here we go. O'Neill, there you go.
Hey, that's
on this side, here we go. There we go, over here. Yeah. Over here. Yeah. So, there are times I love my job, right? Yep. So, again, this is to help you remember. Later's going to be greater. Yeah. Do we have a picture of that? Yeah. He got it, though. He got it. Right? Here we go, man. See, we're not living for just now. We're living for later. And so, it's important for us to be faithful now and later, because people are watching you and they're wondering, do you really believe in this God you talk about? Do you really trust this God with everything? I mean, with everything. Like, you're going to trust him? When God has trusted you with so much, what can we do except trust him back? That we need to be faithful with what he has given to us. And sometimes God is saying, yeah, you know, I've gone away and I'm entrusting this to you. You do your best with it. You do your best with it. And when he comes back to settle the accounts, right, we want to be able to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful steward, my good and faithful servant. You did the kind of things that I would have done. That's what we want to hear him say. And so as we close, how's your faithfulness been lately? Have you been a fair weather follower? Or are you truly committed, even in the tough time, even when it doesn't make sense, even when God's asking for everything, are you willing to give your all back to him? As we sing this song, The Goodness of God, or the chorus of it, right? I want you to be reminded of how good God has been to you. And that apart from his goodness, we would not be where we are today. But because he is faithful, we should return our faithfulness back to him. Amen. Let's worship.